Well, welcome to our study for today, little children. It's May 25th, 2023, 1735 now, hours, Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green here. A song from 1975 entitled Miracles by Jefferson Starship and written by Marty Balin. And from the album entitled Red Octopus.
Goodbye.
That is quite a song. I confess I didn't know all the lyrics of that song, but I think it's a really, really important song, actually. And it was so in my life. It encouraged me many, many times to hear that concept of believing in miracles. So, our study for today. By the way, I want to show you this new watch, though. Before we get to the study, this is the new watch. She came with a nickname on her already. She's called Iron Annie. And it's a beautiful full date display at the top, at the 12 o'clock position, the full day of the week, I should say. And I just regulated Annie just a few minutes ago, really, before I shaved. I was just in, and she was about 17 seconds or per day fast, or 19 seconds. You know, variable. I mean, it's not usually exact. But I set her back to about zero, close to zero. In all positions, she's running at zero. So it's a Miyota movement. The Miyota 8285, self-winding, single-directional. It only winds in the counterclockwise direction, which is different from my other movements, both the other Japanese one, the Seiko NH35, and also the other, the Swiss and the Chinese. They all seem to wind, all the ones I have seem to wind in the bidirectional method, in the bidirectional capacity of being able to wind in either direction. But that just means, you know, the automatic winding I'm talking about. So when you're using an automatic winder, you have to know that, because you have to set it. It wouldn't wind the watch if you had it doing clockwise winding only. But it was very difficult to get the case back off this watch, off Annie. I couldn't get the case back off at first because I didn't know if it was a screw down or a... But it was a pry. It was a snap-on lid, a snap-on back. I pried it off with a screwdriver and was able to... Well, it was a trick with the screwdriver. I couldn't just pry it. I had to use a very small hammer using the end of a screwdriver as a hammer. And that worked with the right size screwdriver, because the screwdriver is like a wedge shape, and it is able to... there is a gap that I could get the screwdriver into. You have to use the right size screwdriver, the exact size for wedging it in there. And when you tap it, I saw it. It made it very easy. I picked up that tip off the internet. But I've worked with so many different types of tools, and not a lot compared to a professional, of course. But I've done a lot of different kinds of physical or manual work. That's the word, manual. Manual work with tools in the workshop, power tools and other tools, wrenches and things like that. So I know a little bit about it, and was fortunate to get it off. But when I got it, it was difficult to get it back on again. That's the other thing. So both aspects were difficult, and it was difficult to regulate it. I had to go back and forth. It kept going back and forth between two positions. It was either 17 seconds fast or it was some number of seconds slow, but it couldn't go 9 seconds slow or something. It couldn't go anywhere in between. I couldn't get it in the middle, and for a long time, many, many times, back and forth. So patience is required when you're doing regulating, because if you drop the screwdriver into the movement, you can be kaput for your watch. It's a German-made Bauhaus watch. Beautiful, beautiful manufacturing. And I didn't realize I was going to love it as much as I do. I've put it on a NATO strap, and I've also put, I'll show you my other strap. I put this watch also, I call this watch Star. She's called Star. My New Orient Star watch is called Star for a nickname, perfect nickname for an Orient star. And she's on a NATO strap now, so she won't as easily fall off. But she has some serious scratches on the case, some serious concrete asphalt pavement contact caused scratches. There's one on each side. I think there's a couple on each side, but didn't scratch the crystal, which is a sapphire crystal, synthetic. Now the mineral, it's a mineral crystal on Annie. She has a mineral, but a hardened mineral crystal, K1 hardening. So I'm learning a lot about these things. But the mineral crystal is not as scratch resistant as a sapphire, which is what the Orient is. And does the sapphire have a see-through back on it? I can't remember. But Annie has a see-through back on her. She can see through the back. I think the Orient does too. Yep. Yeah, the Orient. Let me see. How can I get it? I can't. I want to see. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Oh, the trouble is this strap is in the way. I can't just pry her up and look, but I... Yeah, I believe... Yeah, I'm almost certain because it... Not Annie, but Star. Star was a very expensive watch. Annie was expensive enough, but not of the price of this watch. I've ordered another exciting watch. This is the watch of my dreams that I've just ordered, that I finally had the cash to order it because of the inheritance I just got. So now maybe my collection of watches will be complete for a while. That's what I'm thinking. I just didn't understand that I needed to get around to realizing my dream, to ordering the watch of my dreams. I'll keep you in suspense, I guess, about that for a little while. A little bit. Let's see what we have here in today's study from Wild Road, Little Children. We've got paragraph 10.2 from part 1, paragraph 10, or part 1, chapter 10, part 1, chapter 10, paragraph 2. There are now many topics which one could wish to find exhausted in an article such as this, though generally, even by careful planning, could not be seriously begun. Menes, or Mestrium, as agreed by most ancient sources, is the son of Cush, of the lineage of Ham, son of Noah. Many wrongly interpret Ethiopia as the modern location in Africa, while in ancient sources it is called Cush, and Cush was the father of Nimrod, who settled in Shinar. The kingdom of Shinar, Babylon and Assyria, being later names by which it becomes known, in Mesopotamia, known best for its famous Tower of Babel from the time of Nimrod, came to include Phoenicia in later times, and for which reason is Cepheus, or Cepheus, son of Agenor, as is the wife of Cepheus, Cassiopeia, an Ethiopian, because Phoenicia was considered Ethiopia. It was called Ethiopia, right? It was part of that land by that name. Persia was also called Ethiopia in tales about Memnon. Persia. Cush and Ethiopia are synonymous in the Holy Writings. Mr. Bryant writes that the name Ethiopia follows Cush in naming places to which some Cushites had dispersed. Ethiopia follows Cush. It came later than Cush. Or it follows Cush around wherever the Cushites went. When we may equate Scutha with Cutha, and Cuthites with Cushites, then the Scythians, the Scythians become part of Cush also. The Scuti or Scythi, a people to which Bryant gives avid attention, cannot be other than Cush or Ethiopia. The original Ethiopia was, as Bryant writes, that's Bryant, B-R-Y-A-N-T, to quote, "The original Ethiopia was the region of Babylonia and Chaldea, where the first kingdom upon earth began. End quote. He goes on to explain that Stephanus of Byzantium said it correctly when he said that Ethiopia was the, quote, first established country on earth, end quote, with the first worship. Since they preceded Egypt, this now explains to us why Ethiopia later held such respect among Egyptian kings. Since the Ethiopia south of Egypt also came from Cush, got its name from Cush, as did other places we know. As few know it as well as Bryant, this justice is his. So that is very eye-opening regarding Cush, Ethiopia, and Egypt, with, of course, Shinar having been the first established country or you know, human government on earth that we know of, and it's pretty well established that that was the first on earth. And that went by the name of Cush, or even Ethiopia. So this is a fascinating realization and piece of information to have, to understand what is meant by Ethiopia and what is meant by Cush in the Bible, but also in other places. So we're going to study now our proverb for today, little children. It's from Proverbs chapter 10. At the beginning of the Proverbs of Solomon, it says, a wise son is the one that makes a father rejoice, and a stupid son is the grief of his mother. Wise words. Now, chapter 34 of Exodus. Then Jehovah said to Moses, remember Moses broke the tablets? The tablets containing the Ten Commandments, he broke them on the ground. He smashed them. Carve out for yourself two tablets of stone like the first ones. And I must write upon the tablets the words that appeared on the first tablets, which you shattered. And get ready for the morning, as you must go up in the morning into Mount Sinai and station yourself by me there on the top of the mountain. But nobody may go up with you. And two, let nobody else be seen in all the mountain. What is more, no flock or herd should be pasturing in front of that mountain. Accordingly, Moses carved out two tablets of stone like the first ones, and got up early in the morning and went on up into Mount Sinai, just as Jehovah had commanded him. And he was taking the two tablets of stone in his hand. And Jehovah proceeded to come down in the cloud and station himself with him there and declare the name of Jehovah. And Jehovah went passing by before his face and declaring, Jehovah, Jehovah, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth, preserving loving kindness for thousands, pardoning error and transgression and sin. But by no means will he give exemption from punishment, bringing punishment for the error of fathers upon sons and upon grandsons, upon the third generation and upon the fourth generation. End quote. Moses at once hurried to bow low to the earth and prostrate himself. Then he said, if now I have found favor in your eyes, O Jehovah, let Jehovah, please, go along in the midst of us, because it is a stiff-necked people, and you have to forgive our error and our sin, and you must take us as your possession. In turn, he said, here I am concluding a covenant. Before all your people I shall do wonderful things that have never been created in all the earth or among all the nations. And all the people in the midst of whom you are will indeed see the work of Jehovah, because it is a fear-inspiring thing that I am doing with you. For your part, keep what I am commanding you today. Here I am driving out from before you the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Watch yourself that you do not conclude a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you are going, for fear it may prove itself a snare in your midst. But their altars you people are to pull down, and their sacred pillars you are to shatter, and their sacred poles you are to cut down, For you must not prostrate yourself to another god, because Jehovah, whose name is Jealous, he is a jealous god. For fear that you may conclude a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, as they will certainly have immoral intercourse with their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and someone will be certain to invite you, and you will be certain, you will certainly eat some of his sacrifice. Then you will have to take some of their daughters for your sons, and their daughters will be certain to have immoral intercourse with their gods, and make your sons have immoral intercourse with their gods. You must not make molten idol gods for yourself. The festival of unfermented cakes you are to keep. You will eat unfermented cakes, just as I have commanded you, 7 days at the appointed time in the month of Abib. That's the Passover, a 7-day festival, but the first day of it is also called the Sabbath, and it's called the Passover too, the first day of that 7-day festival, because it was in the month of Abib that you came out of Egypt. Everything that first opens the womb is mine, and as regards all your livestock, the male firstling of bull and of sheep, and the firstling of an ass, you are to redeem with a sheep. If you will not redeem it, then you must break its neck. Every firstborn of your sons you are to redeem, and they must not appear before me empty-handed. 6 days you are to labor, but on the seventh day you will keep Sabbath. In plowing time and in harvest you will keep Sabbath, and you will carry on your festival of weeks with the first ripe fruits of the wheat harvest and the festival of ingathering at the turn of the year. 3 times in the year, every male of yours is to appear before the true Lord, Jehovah, the God of Israel, for I shall drive the nations away from before you, and I will make your territory spacious, and nobody will desire your land. While you are going up to see the face of Jehovah your God 3 times in the year, you must not slaughter along with what is leavened the blood of my sacrifice, and the sacrifice of the festival of the Passover should not stay overnight until the morning. Remember, they didn't want to leave the body of Jesus on the stake overnight. The best of the first ripe fruits of your soil you are to bring to the house of Jehovah your God. You must not boil a kid in its mother's milk. And Jehovah went on to say to Moses, write down for yourself these words, because it is in accordance with these words that I do conclude a covenant with you and Israel. End of the speech of Jehovah. And he continued there with Jehovah 40 days and 40 nights. He ate no bread and he drank no water. And he proceeded to write upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 words. Now it came about, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, that the 2 tablets of the testimony were in the hand of Moses when he came down from the mountain. And Moses did not know that the skin of his face emitted rays, because of his having spoken with him. When Aaron and all the sons of Israel got to see Moses, look, the skin of his face emitted rays, and they grew afraid of coming near to him. And Moses proceeded to call them. So Aaron and all the chieftains among the assembly came back to him, and Moses began to speak to them. First after that, all the sons of Israel came near to him, and he began commanding them all that Jehovah had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses would finish speaking with them, he would put a veil over his face. But when Moses would go in before Jehovah to speak with him, he would take away the veil until his going out. And he went out and spoke to the sons of Israel what he would be commanded. And the sons of Israel saw Moses' face, that the skin of Moses' face emitted rays. And Moses put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with him. That's the end of Exodus 34. A beautiful reading, was it not? I mean, a beautiful, not my reading, but I mean, a beautiful passage of Scripture that was Exodus 34. 1 John 4, we're going to do that today. I think it's very appropriate. Beloved ones, do not believe every inspired expression, but test the inspired expressions to see whether they originate with God, because many false prophets have gone forth into the world. You gain the knowledge of the inspired expression from God by this. Every inspired expression that confesses Jesus Christ as having come in the flesh originates with God. But every inspired expression that does not confess Jesus does not originate with God. Furthermore, this is the Antichrist's inspired expression, which you have heard was coming, and now it is already in the world. You originate with God, little children, and you have conquered these persons, those persons, because he that is in union with you is greater than he that is in union with the world. They originate with the world. That is why they speak what proceeds from the world, and the world listens to them. We originate with God. He that gains the knowledge of God listens to us. And he that does not originate with God does not listen to us. This is how we take note of the inspired expression of truth and the inspired expression of error. Beloved ones, let us continue loving one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born from God and gains the knowledge of God. He that does not love has not come to know God, because God is love. By this the love of God was made manifest in our case, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might gain life through him. The love is in this respect, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent forth his Son as a propitiatory sacrifice for our sins. Beloved ones, if this is how God loved us, then we ourselves are under obligation to love one another. At no time has anyone beheld God. If we continue loving one another, God remains in us, and his love is made perfect in us. By this we gain the knowledge that we are remaining in union with him, and he in union with us, because he has imparted his Spirit to us. In addition, we ourselves have beheld and are bearing witness that the Father has sent forth his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever makes the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God remains in union with him. I just realized here, I've got to take the EQ off. God remains in union with such one, and he in union with God. Whoever makes the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God remains in union with him. And we ourselves have come to know and have believed the love that God has in our case. God is love, and he that remains in love remains in union with God, and God remains in union with him. This is how love has been made perfect with us, that we may have freeness of speech in the day of judgment, because just as that one is, so are we ourselves in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love throws fear outside, because fear exercises a restraint. Indeed, he that is under fear has not been made perfect in love. As for us, we love because he first loved us. If anyone makes a statement, I love God, and yet is hating his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot be loving God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should be loving his brother also. And that's the end of 1 John 4. And that concludes our study for today, little children. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening and watching. It is May 25th, 2023, 18:06 hours Eastern Daylight Time, Ward Green. Once again, saying so long for today. And for me, it's Star. And Cammy saying bye for now.